Hi everyone. I've grown up here in Sydney, and I'm currently the rabbi of Maroubra Synagogue, as well as the college rabbi of Mount Sinai College, which is right next door to the synagogue. My third hat is I also wear the badge or the honour of being a chaplain of the Air Force. So that's a snapshot of who I am.
Rabbi Friedman, can you please tell us about your congregation? I believe that Maroubra is very vibrant. It's a growing community.
Yes, absolutely. Now, I'm very fortunate to be leading this community. Quite a lot of young families, young couples are moving into this area. Especially we have a very strong and close connection with the school, Mount Sinai College, which is filled with children and parents, and it's a one big, beautiful, joyous community. But yeah, thank God, it's growing over the past few years.
We are talking to Rabbi Yossi Friedman, the rabbi of Maroubra Synagogue, and you're listening to SBS Radio broadcasting around Australia with Nitza Lowenstein. Rabbi, I'm talking to you at the eve of Sukkot, just before Sukkot. Can you please tell us, and when we go to air, it will be Sunday morning. Can you please tell us about the customs of Sukkot, the rituals of Sukkot?
Sukkot is a beautiful time, probably one of my favorite, if not my most favorite festival. It comes at a very, very good time to us here in Australia, because here it is spring going into summer normally, and so it's normally beautiful weather. But why it's also a special time is because we've just spent a lot of time indoors. We've been inside for the Jewish New Year for a few days there. We've been inside for an entire day of Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. And so now it's great to step out of the indoors of the actual synagogue worship room and to actually step outside and to dwell in a booth. Now, the word sukkah means a hut or a booth that's erected normally out of flimsy materials, some tarpaulin, some pegs. We cover the top with bamboo or some detached branches from trees. So it's really like a little hut living outside. And for 7 days, we live outside. It's a beautiful experience because essentially we do this practice because through it, we remember how God took care of the Israelites in their 40-year sojourn in the wilderness on the way to the land of Israel. Because God took care of them from the scorching heat from above, from the scorpions below, and from the winds on the sides, we remember that through building this flimsy hut. And we remember that it was God's protection in the outdoors that made us survive those many years ago and has kept us surviving throughout the ages. Essentially, we resurrect that every single year for 7 days, and we live in it. So we eat inside of this booth. We invite our friends to come and play inside this booth, and we pray inside the booth from time to time. So the command is that we're supposed to do all of our normal day activities. We move out of our home and live inside this sukkah, even sleep inside this hut. So it really is it symbolizes our faith in God, how God keeps the world running and protects us from all directions. I think especially today, we live in the security. Many of us are fortunate to live in homes that we have running water and we have basic necessities such as electricity. We have lights. Whereas when you live in a hut outside for 7 days, you really come to appreciate some of the blessings that we all too often take for granted in life. So that's one custom, the custom of sitting in a booth to remember God's affection and God's protection. The second thing we do is we actually take four species of vegetation. We take a palm frond, we take some willow branches, some myrtle branches, and we take a citron, which is a type of lemon, looks similar to a lemon. And we bring them all together and we say a blessing to God for giving us these species, and we give them a shake in all different directions. It's symbolizing that God is surrounding us with his different blessings. And although there is no reason given in the actual Torah, in the Bible itself, as to why we have to take these four species in particular, there are lots of beautiful interpretations and understandings behind this mitzvah, this commandment, which is that they represent different types of people. And the etrog, the citron, has beautiful qualities of smell and taste, whereas the willow on the other side doesn't have either of those features. It doesn't smell good, it has no particular smell and no particular taste. And it represents people with different qualities. Some are learned, some are filled with good deeds, some are devoid of good deeds, are ignorant, etc., are judgmental. So, and the idea behind it is that we bring these four different species, these different types of people together, and ultimately we say that we're all one, we're all united. We shouldn't be judging each other, we should be living together in harmony. And we bring it together, we give it a shake. So that's one beautiful explanation behind those four species, is to remind us not only of the blessing in our lives that surround us in all the directions, but ultimately that we have a responsibility to our fellow human being, to look after them and to bring people together.
We are talking to Rabbi Yossi Friedman, rabbi of Maroubra Synagogue, and you're listening to SBS Radio broadcasting around Australia with Nitza Lowenstein. Rabbi, we are also going to celebrate Simchat Torah.
At the end of this festival of Sukkot, We then merge into another festival called Simchat Torah. This is on the eighth day where we take the Torah scrolls and we literally dance with them, we jump up and down with them. All the children come into the synagogue and we have special kids' parties and hand out lolly bags and treats. We're essentially celebrating the fact that we've finished one cycle of reading. So every year we divide up the Torah into roughly 54 sections and we read one section every single week. And by the end of the year, so 52 weeks in the year, sometimes we read an extra section, but normally we time at the end of the Festival of Sukkot to finish the entire cycle of reading. And so we read the very last section, we begin the new section, and so it's a day of joy. It's a day that we thank God for giving us his Torah moral code. We celebrate that by dancing and singing with those Torah scrolls, and it's one of my favorite times of the year. Again, it's a highlight of the year. It's so beautiful to sing and to dance and to serve God with joy. I think when we're joyous, when we're happy, there's nothing that we can't achieve. You know, when you're in a state of joy, you feel like you can do anything. And I think that's one of the ideas, one of the feelings that we want to foster in our people, especially the youth. And that is that in a religion today, while some people may feel it doesn't apply, and perhaps, you know, there are some laws which don't make any sense and may seem a little bit outdated. But when you serve God with joy, and when we can understand in it through a joyous lens as to what these laws actually mean, then it takes on a different understanding. We can apply it much more to our lives. And so that's one of the things we try and do, instill these principles, these values, not in a way that it's begrudging, oh, I've got to go to the synagogue again, but no, rather, let's go and let's dance in the synagogue, and let's hand out some spirits, and let's have a good time, because that's what's going to bring the people, especially the young people, coming back.
And we are talking to Rabbi Yossi Friedman. Rabbi, going back to the beginning of our interview, you said that you grew up in Sydney. I think that it's quite incredible that you come back to Sydney as a rabbi to serve the Sydney Jewish community. Are you coming from families of rabbis, or can you tell us a bit more about your journey of becoming a rabbi?
I have no rabbis in my direct line of family. Yeah, essentially, I never planned to become a rabbi. It only really took place. I only had that decision when I turned 21. Actually, I finished a degree at the University of New South Wales, studying a commerce degree. And I thought I would go into business like my grandfather. Essentially, I had a wonderful experience contributing to a Jewish community. And actually, we arranged a meal, a Passover meal in Bali, Indonesia. And we had about 2 weeks to arrange it. And essentially, we went there hardly knowing anyone, and we eventually created a meal for over 100 Jewish people, which inspired both of us. We were both so inspired by fact that we had created a community in the space of only a few weeks, that we decided, you know, we like this, we'd like to pursue this further, and we both commenced degrees, rabbinic degrees. We started studying to become rabbis, and then we're very fortunate that both of us afterwards were offered positions in synagogues. It all went from there. So no, I didn't really start out thinking that I would be a rabbi, but I guess I became inspired along the way, and here I am today.
And you're doing a fabulous job with the community. You were the rabbi of Cremon. Cremon was your first position?
Cremon was my first position as the main rabbi, as the rabbi of a synagogue. I was a youth rabbi or assistant rabbi in the central synagogue before that for 3 years.
Fantastic.
Rabbi Yossi. I've been around.
Rabbi Yossi Friedman, I'd like to wish you Chag Sameach, and thank you so much.